This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
There are people waiting to get this matter resolved so that they can come and invest into our mining, into our agriculture, into manufacturing, tourism, and so forth. So we need the debt to be resolved.
That's Zambian Finance Minister Situ Mbiko Musokotwani talking about efforts to renegotiate his country's debt. Details coming up. Also, the UN chief called for urgent aid for Somalia, and allegations arise that South African banks aid Zimbabwean gold smugglers. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. In Zambia, the U.S. and the Chinese ambassadors to Zambia jointly say their two nations will put their differences aside to help the Southern African country address its $14 billion debt overhang. Some analysts say the debt situation in Zambia is unsustainable and it's making the country unattractive for both local and foreign investors. The Zambian government delegation led by Finance Minister Situ Mbiko Musokotwani is in talks with the World Bank and IMF officials about finding ways to restructure the debt. Musokotwani is in Washington to hold talks with IMF and World Bank officials during their spring meetings in Washington. VOA's Peter Clotie sat down with the minister and asked him about Zambia's economic outlook and the prospects of the talks with the IMF and World Bank officials.
The first expectation is that right now, priority number one for Zambia is to push for the issue of the debt relief for Zambia to be completed. That's priority number one. This is so because as long as the debt issue remains unresolved, uncertainties remain in the economy in terms of investment, in terms of people who participate in our local financial markets. So this is causing uncertainty, and we need to get the matter resolved. So in coming here, we are talking to executive directors of various countries, especially those with the biggest influence at the IMF and the World Bank, to plead with them. I know they've been assisting a lot, but to plead with them just to keep on pushing and get this matter resolved.
So currently, what would you say is the economic outlook in Zambia, looking at the debt situation? How challenging does it make the overhang of this debt issue?
The economy is doing reasonably well. For this year, 2023, we expect the growth to be just over 4%, which is not bad. Inflation is just under 10% from more than 20% sometime last year. But where we have challenges is the issue of jobs. There are people waiting to get this matter resolved so that they can come and invest into our mining, into our agriculture, into manufacturing, tourism, and so forth. So we need the debt to be resolved so that we begin to make a mark on employment, especially for the youth.
Mr. Finance Minister, talking about the debt situation, recently in Lusaka, your capital, the U.S. ambassador and the Chinese ambassador made a statement about Zambia's $14 billion debt. What does this mean for Zambia and for these two countries to put saying they'll put aside their differences to help?
The statement by the two ambassadors is very important because China is a creditor country to Zambia, okay, but also has been donating. The Chinese have made a lot of donations to Zambia. America similarly supports us a lot, especially in the area of health. So when they come together and put issues of their issues aside and say, let's work together to get Zambia out of the debt crisis, we are extremely grateful for that event.
That was Zambian Finance Minister Situmbiko Musko-Tuwani speaking in Washington with my colleague Peter Clouty. There will be more of this interview on VOA's Nightline Africa show this weekend and on voaafrica.com. At the International Monetary Fund and World Bank annual spring meetings here in Washington, IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva said, despite the resiliency of consumer spending in the United States and Europe, the outlook is not great for poor countries.
We have been wrestling with one crisis after another, one shock after another, and that has pushed on the back burden the longer-term agenda of structural reforms that are paramount to uplift productivity. And with productivity remaining low, the prospects for growth are low.
Georgieva made the comment yesterday at the opening of the week-long meeting. In the opening session with Georgieva, World Bank Group President David Malpass said it is important there be more investment in small businesses and new businesses, especially in developing countries. He also said it is going to take more than lowering interest rates.
If you just lower the interest rates back down, it won't solve the problem. What that means is that people will suffer from inflation. The dollar weakens,
yes. Yep.
The inflation rate goes back up, and that hurts the poor the most. So I think there has to be a goal of finding a low inflation environment and dollar stability for the future.
The IMF and World Bank are looking at debt restructuring for several developing countries, including Ghana and Zambia. Georgieva said the meetings were a good opportunity for lenders to discuss how to restore price stability, but also consider the longer-term prospect for growth in low-income countries. We'll have more on the World Bank on all the VOA Africa news programs this week and on voaafrica.com. Pirates have boarded a Chinese-run oil tanker in West Africa's Gulf of Guinea. The Associated Press says that pirates boarded the ship, Success 9, about 500 kilometers southwest of Ivory Coast's capital on Monday. The London-based risk management company EOS Risk Group told the Associated Press that it is not clear how many crew members or pirates are on the vessel. The head of the company said it could be a kidnap and ransom incident or cargo theft. The Associated Press says the Gulf of Guinea is the world's most dangerous spot for attacks on ships. On March 25th, pirates boarded a Danish-owned oil tanker with 16 crew members south Port Pointe Noire in the Republic of Congo. French naval forces located the vessel and have escorted it to Lomé, Togo. In South Africa, the High Court in Pretoria has started hearing court challenges to plans to terminate residency permits for nearly 180,000 Zimbabweans. VOA's Zimbabwe service reporter Blessing Zulu is closely monitoring the hearings and briefed me on the latest.
The latest is that, of course, the hearing is started in Pretoria with lawyers representing the Helen Suzman Foundation and also the Zimbabwe Exemption Permit Holders Association in the Zimbabwe Immigration Federation, presenting their case and arguing against the proposal by the minister to terminate by June 30 the so-called Zimbabwe exemption permits that allow about 178,000 to 180,000 Zimbabweans to work legally in South Africa.
So, Blessing, is Zimbabwe ready to absorb all these people?
The government of Zimbabwe itself is saying that it is ready. In fact, President Emmerson Mnangagwa actually met President Cyril Ramaphosa and the Director General of the IOM on the sidelines of the African Union Summit in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, in February. And they all agreed that the situation in Zimbabwe has improved. And the IOM director promised that they will also avail funds for those Zimbabweans willing to go back home to return. And Mr. Mnangagwa actually said that he was ready to receive those Zimbabweans. But in court today, the Helen Suzman Foundation lawyers are saying that all evidence points to the contrary, that Zimbabwe is not ready to... The situation has not improved in Zimbabwe. They are also quoting, for example, the World Bank, arguing that 49% of Zimbabweans are living in extreme poverty. Inflation until lately has been one of the highest in the world, second only to Venezuela. So the lawyers are saying it's clear that Zimbabwe is not yet ready to receive those people coming from South Africa. And the president, Mr. Mnangagwa, had actually dispatched an interministerial committee to look into the issue of repatriating Zimbabweans who are willing to come back from South Africa. And talking to the Zimbabwe ambassador in South Africa, Mr. David Hamadziripi, he says that there is no interest. You know, not many Zimbabweans are expressing a willingness to go back to Zimbabwe, which is problematic. So the lawyers are saying that contrary to what the politicians are saying, many are not ready to return to Zimbabwe.
The residency permits Zimbabweans have in South Africa number to 180,000. Some say there are over 3 million Zimbabweans in South Africa.
That's very true. As the political and economic crisis in Zimbabwe worsens, and especially, you know, this year, there are elections expected between the 26th of July and August 26th. There's always violence. And after elections, because of the bickering between politicians, you know, not many people are willing to invest in Zimbabwe. There are also allegations of corruption. So what happens is South Africa is the closest and more stable country that is attractive to Zimbabweans, and the border is also porous. So many Zimbabweans have flocked into South Africa, and many are not even documented. This is why also the lawyers are saying that it appears the people who have been documented are now being victimized. And the other problem that they are also pointing at is that even if they are to deport these 180,000 Zimbabweans, they will be back in South Africa because the situation in Zimbabwe has not improved. But of course, Pretoria is arguing that there's also high unemployment in South Africa, and over 30% of the people are not employed. And as a result, this is causing serious tensions between Zimbabweans and South Africa. You have heard of cases of xenophobia.
That was VOA Zimbabwe Service reporter Blessing Zulu briefing us on the court hearings regarding Zimbabwean immigrants in South Africa. A documentary about illegal sales of Zimbabwean gold has implicated some South African banks, and tax authorities are investigating. An Al Jazeera news investigation recently leaked leading Zimbabwean political figures, including President Emmerson Mnangagwa, to gold smuggling. Those named in the documentary deny wrongdoing, but their alleged links to crooked banking executives in South Africa have added another twist to the case. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
Crime monitoring groups estimate syndicates are stealing about $400 million every month by trafficking Zimbabwean gold to sell on international black markets. In the recent Al Jazeera documentary, Zimbabwe's presidential envoy, Hubert Angel, told undercover reporters he could arrange for gold to be smuggled out of the country. He added he'd use his diplomatic status to bring large amounts of dollars in gold profit back to Zimbabwe. Former South African President Thabo Mbeki, an economist, is working with the African Union to prevent illicit financial flows from the continent. He told reporters in Johannesburg that Zimbabwean syndicates have been using South African banks to wash dirty money from illegal gold since at least 2016.
Financial Action Task Force alerted us to this problem and said, South Africa, there are certain deficiencies in your systems to deal with the matter of money laundering, like this and that and the other. Please attend to this. And we didn't. Then the global markets will deal with you as a money launderer.
The Financial Action Task Force, the FATF, is a global intergovernmental agency that promotes policies and sets international standards to combat money laundering and terrorist financing. In February, the FATF put South Africa on its grey list of countries that don't have adequate measures to prevent financial crimes. South African financial sector expert Kokki Kooiman says the FATF had realized organized crime groups, including Zimbabwe's so-called gold mafia, had infiltrated some South African banks. Kooiman says at one bank, auditors didn't identify fraud linked to Zimbabwe, but the South African Revenue Service recently exposed it. Further investigations have implicated other banks. Kooiman says the criminals used a variety of tactics to escape detection, while hundreds of millions of dollars passed through South Africa's banking system.
They were doing a classical case of doing many transactions. Last count, I went past 180 transactions. So you break one large amount down into 20, and you make a lot of different deposits and a lot of different transactions just to make it more difficult for any auditors to pick it up. So you can see this was actually very, very sophisticated. The money was thereafter sent to Dubai, and from Dubai was deposited back into South Africa as totally clean money in South Africa.
In Harare, academic and governance expert Ibo Mandaza says the smuggling of Zimbabwean gold is another example of how the country's resources are stolen from citizens.
I'm glad that in South Africa, at least the banks have begun investigations, but in Zimbabwe, there is little or no word at all from the authorities on this, especially when the very top leadership is implicated. In another country, a president would have stepped aside to allow for investigations or commission of inquiry. That's unlikely to happen in Zimbabwe.
Mandaza says it'll be interesting to find out who South African bank managers corruptly worked with in Zimbabwe to siphon off money. Zimbabwe's government has pledged to investigate the allegations of gold smuggling and corruption reported in the Al Jazeera four-part documentary, which began airing last month. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America. An explosion in the capital of Ethiopia's Amhara region has killed at least two people. The incident comes as protests against the integration of local security forces into the national police and army continue in the region. Reuters News says the blast killed three men watching football at a bar and injured 15 others. The charity Catholic Relief Services says two of its staff also were killed during the protests. CRS says a security manager and a driver in one of its vehicles were shot in the Amhara region on Sunday as they were returning to Addis Ababa from an assignment. Protesters say disbanding Amhara's forces would leave the region vulnerable to attacks by surrounding regions, including Tigray. Restrictions on movement and other curbs have been imposed in three cities in Amhara as the protests continue. Visiting U.S. Secretary General Antonio Guterres appealed Tuesday for massive international support for Somalia as it battles a desperate humanitarian crisis caused by drought and protracted armed conflict. The French news agency AFP reports that Guterres said at a news conference with President Hassan Sheikh Mahmoud that he was on a visit of solidarity to the troubled Horn of Africa nation, where 5 million people face high levels of food insecurity. Jamal Ahmed Osman of VOA Somali Service is following Guterres' visit to Somalia. VOA's Douglas Mpuga reached him in Nairobi for more details.
First of all, this is the second visit as the General Secretary Antonio Guterres paying visit to Somalia. And Somalia has been encountering droughts for many years. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has reiterated that his organization will try to do anything to avert the famine in Somalia so that the people who are in need will get the support they want. So his visit comes in a time where Somalia has been lack of raining for five consecutive rainy seasons and the drought in Somalia and the neighboring countries like Kenya and Ethiopia have been getting worsened. So the visit is very crucial at this time where the drought has been looming in the country. But the news that we are receiving some parts of the country says that the rainy season of this time has started in many parts of the country, especially late March. Some rain has been reported in some regions of the country. And even in Mogadishu, where the Antonio Guterres visited today, there was raining last night and earlier today.
Yeah, Somalia has had issues of drought, but also it has had to fight an insurgency. That double problem, you think the visit of the UN Secretary General will help solve that one as well?
Yes, actually, this is part of the efforts that the world and the UN trying to avert the famine in Somalia. Holding a press conference with the Somali President Hassan Sheikh Mahmoud, the both leaders reiterated that they want, you know, to get rid of the insecurity in Somalia so that the people, those in need, can get the assistance and the aid they want. Somali President Hassan Sheikh Mahmoud has said that currently his government is trying to establish security and judicial reforms in Somalia. And also his government is trying to liberate the parts where Al-Shabaab insurgents are still in control so that the people in that areas can get the aid they want. So actually the problem, lack of the raining and the insecurity in Somalia combined make the situation worse. And the Somali government, with the help of the international community, trying to solve these issues.
The UN Secretary General was appealing for more financial aid help in Somalia. Do you think the international community will respond accordingly?
The international community is not responding accordingly because the UN has been asking like more than $2 billion to invest in the needy people in countries like Somalia. But what we have seen in the news is like they have received 13% of assistance that the UN has asked the international community. So it looks like it's not going very fast or the way that the UN wanted. But at the same time, nobody can wait until at the end. So people are now dying, according to the estimates the UN and the Somali government is making. And the assistance is not just reaching the areas where these people are very quickly. So this can make the situation very bad. As I already mentioned, adding to the woes, the seasonal rains in March in Somalia led to the flooding that claimed the lives of 21 people and displaced more than 100 people. So people were used to displace from droughts. Now they started displacing from floods. So this is the time, the right time, that the people may need the assistance.
That was Jamal Ahmed Osman of VOA Somali Service. He spoke to my colleague Douglas Mpuga from Nairobi. And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbili Abaro, and our engineer, Zainab Abdul Rahman, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week
right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM stations.